بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آل من ولا وبعد. Tonight this is our second session reading from دعوات المؤمنين المذكورة في القرآن, يعني the supplications of the believers which are mentioned in the Quran by our Sheikh Abdul Razak, the son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abad Al-Badr حفظهم الله, may Allah protect and preserve both of them. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to be looking at the second chapter of 10 chapters, which contains the third dua. Yani in the first chapter, there were two supplications, which we're going to quickly review tonight before we begin with the topic for tonight. And in this chapter, there's a third supplication or series of supplications that all came together in the last two ayats of Surah Al-Baqarah. And the Shaykh's explanation of that series of supplications is going to cover the second chapter and the third chapter of the book. So tonight, inshallah, we're going to look at the beginning, the first couple of requests that came in this series of supplications. And next week, inshallah, we'll look at those which remain. Before we do that, inshallah, we're going to look at some of the topics that we discussed last week in the questionnaire study guide for lecture number one. The first question being, mention the first, or I should say, memorize. It says memorize, yeah. Are my glasses okay? I'm reading, mention. Memorize the first supplication from the second surah of the Quran, 201st ayah, mentioned by the author in chapter 1 of this book. The first supplication mentioned by the author in this book. Naam, Abdul Wali.
Atina. Fit dunya hasana. Fulfill akhara hasana. Wa kina athabina.
Let me just make a quick comment here, and that is, it is important that these supplications actually be memorized. It is important that they be memorized. So sometimes a question is going to come, memorize something. And the point is, because we have to memorize some things. We can't just go on our general memory of what we remember we read, but we need to memorize, especially something that we're going to be supplicating with. So we need to know it. So it's important that we memorize, and that is for everyone. Yani those who know Arabic and those who don't know Arabic. Those whose language is Arabic and those who are learning Arabic. We should all attempt to memorize, and this is really, really very beneficial that we memorize these supplications, that we memorize the Quran, that we memorize hadith, and so on. Now, okay, second question number two, what is the core meaning of this supplication? Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhabana. What is the core meaning of this supplication, due to which Allah praises the believers who supplicated with it? Naam. What is your name, Akhi? Huh?
Idris.
That's easy to remember. Tayyib, fadda.
Rabbina atina fid dunya hasana wa qina adhabannar means to give us good in this life, this dunya, and in the next life, and protect us from the fire.
To give us good, the hasana, the good that is in this dunya, in this world, and the good that is in the next life, and save us from the punishment of the fire. So the Shaykh, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned this supplication from these believers, people who were performing the pilgrimage, and that they were asking him with these words, and the mention of this supplication, attributing it to these people, was a means of praising them, because of what this supplication entails. What does it entail? And what is the meaning, not the meaning of the words, but the core meaning of what it entails? Why did Allah praise them for this particular supplication? What is it about it that He praised them for? They combined between two things. Naam.
First they asked Rabbana.
Okay, they asked Rabbana.
And then the second was that they recognized that it was only Him.
That's true, but that's not what the Shaykh said. Sometimes the question that I put in the study guide is specific to exactly what the Shaykh said. We want to know exactly what he said. What you said is correct. There's no doubt about it. But the Shaykh said that Allah is praising them because of what? Because they combined in this supplication between the maslaha of a darain. Yani that which would benefit them in both worlds, in the dunya and in the akhirah. Yani they didn't suffice to just ask for the good things of this world, which is fine. Yani the good things of this world, lawful. Yani things in this world that Allah has made lawful for us. But no, the reason why he praised them, because they asked for the things that were lawful in this world, that was good for them, and also the good things of the next life. So this is exactly the way the Shaykh explained it, and that's kind of what we're looking for. Like, why, yani, is Allah praising them for this supplication? Because they actually combined between that which would benefit them in both worlds. And that's very, very important. He contrasts this to the people that I mentioned in the ayah before that, who asked for the good of this world only, and they didn't ask for the next life. The third question, the word Rabbana is affirmation of Rububiyyah. Yani Allah's Rububiyyah, that He is the Rabbul Alameen. The word Rabbana is affirmation of Rububiyyah, which necessitates what other aspects of Tawheed? What other aspects of Tawheed are necessitated by this word Rabbana? Naam, Adam.
Serving the worship
of His Uluhiyyah. If a person acknowledged that Allah is the only Rabb, the creator, the owner, the provider, then that necessitates that they also acknowledge Uluhiyyah, that He's the only one that deserves to worship, and as well, the Shaykh also added to that, he said, yani the affirmation of what? Yani the having the i'tiqad that of the perfection of Allah's that and His asma and His sifat and His af'al and His actions. Yani also this, yani indicates, point to, entails, yani the i'tiqad that a person believes the one who created the heavens and earth, the Lord of all the worlds, the Supreme Being, that He is perfect. Yani in His that, His divine being is perfect. And His sifat, His characteristics and qualities are perfect. And that His actions are also perfect. So this word Rabbana actually entails, yani it includes within it, it implies, in addition to what is actually understood directly from the words, it also implies the other aspects of Tawheed, yani including all of the three aspects of Tawheed. Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, which is mentioned in the word, Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, which is required by that acknowledgement, and the yani Tawheed of the perfection, yani acknowledging the perfection of Allah's asma wa sifat and af'al. The fourth question, mention 7 of the 10 things which the author says are included in the request for the hasana of the dunya. He mentioned 10 things. Let's just try to mention as many of them as we can. Number 1. Give me one. Naam. Fadl Talib.
Good health.
Good health and well-being. Naam. Idris. MashaAllah. Huh? Beneficial knowledge. Another one. 3. Wali. Abdul Wali.
A good wife. Good child.
Okay, that's 2. Good. Righteous wife and children that are the joy of your eyes, meaning children that are living the life of Islam, worshipping Allah, and therefore you are pleased with them. Naam.
Halal,
lawful, yani plentiful, yani income. Naam. Naam, fadl.
Beneficial knowledge.
Righteous actions. Naam.
Safety and security.
Safety and security. Naam. What else?
Good health.
What about now?
Being mentioned with beautiful praise.
I think we missed one thing, maybe. Huh? Who said that?
Me.
Yeah, huh?
Second
house, yani. Having a comfortable, spacious house. Maybe we covered all of them now. The point is that there are many things in this world that are lawful and that are considered in Islam to be good. And a person should desire those things in the world. Like, we don't divorce ourselves from the world. We are in this world, except that we don't place that as being more important than seeking the eternal, perfect things of the next life. Question number 4. What are the 3 things mentioned by the author as being included in the request for the hasana of the akhirah? The Shaykh mentioned 3 things. Naam, Idris.
Protection from the fire.
Okay. Is that one of the 3 things that the Shaykh mentioned here in this particular point? Yani the hasana of the akhirah, he said, number 1, the highest of them is enter into Jannah. And whatever Yani is accompanying that, or Yani follows as a result of that. And he mentioned two other things. Besides entering Jannah, he mentioned?
Easy reckoning.
Easy reckoning, that was the third thing. And the second thing he mentioned?
Saved from the huge fright or scare.
Al-Fazl al-Akbar. That a person is safe, is saved from this frightening event that will take place at the Qiyamah. That a person is safe. From that, yani all of the creation will be horrified, will be frightened by it, and some people, by the permission of Allah, will be saved from it. And this is from the hasana of the akhirah, that a person is saved from that. And the third thing that Talib mentioned is the easy accounting, which is of critical importance, that we ask Allah for this. We ask Allah that He give us an easy accounting, that when the accounting is taking on Yawmul Qiyamah, that Allah makes it easy for us by overlooking our sins and shortcomings, and that He, yani, just, yani, take to account our good deeds. Question number 6. Discuss briefly the author's explanation of save us from the punishment of the fire. Save us from the punishment of the fire. How does the author explain this? Just briefly. Naam. Fadl. Abdulwali, go ahead.
To be saved from it as not to even enter it, to be cleansed, not to enter it at all.
You need to be saved from the hellfire, including even not even entering it temporarily. Also, he said, I don't know who's speaking. He mentioned that under the good things of the akhirah, but yani, from the meaning of being saved from the punishment of the fire, he said that, yani, turning you away from the fire, yani, not even entering the fire temporarily, but also he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitate the means in this world through which, yani, due to which you will not enter the fire. That is, keeping you distanced from the forbidden things and sinful acts, and allowing you, giving you the success to leave, to give up those things that you have fell into, like the shubahat and the other forbidden things. Yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitate, make easy for you the means to be protected from the fire in this world by you avoiding, distancing yourself from sinful behavior, and if you have engaged in it, to enable you to escape from it, to give it up, to abandon it. And this is very, very important. Yani that when we ask Allah for something, there are always means, asbab, due to which you can achieve that. And we have to be looking at those things, because they are things that we have to do. It's not just, oh, Allah save me from the fire, but we have to do something in this world to justify Allah saving us from the fire. Question number 7, we mentioned something from the practice of the Prophet ﷺ, which shows the great importance of this supplication. The great importance of this supplication, something from the practice of the Prophet. Naam. Okay, this was narrated in the hadith of Anas, that Anas ibn Malik, who narrates another hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we're actually looking for, it is, the Shaykh did mention that it's reported from Anas that whenever he used to supplicate with one supplication, he would supplicate with this supplication. If he supplicated with multiple supplications, this one would be amongst them. But before he mentioned that, he narrates the hadith from Anas himself, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said what about this supplication? Kana, أكثر الدعاء النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Yani the most frequently used supplication that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to use was this supplication. And yani he used to supplicate. Anas says that he, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, used to supplicate with this supplication more than any other supplication, and as a result of that, Anas used to make it his also most frequent supplication, such that if he supplicated with one supplication, this is what he would say, and if he supplicated with many, then this would be included amongst them. And this is a good practice for us to follow from the sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and from the yani practice of his companions radiallahu anhum ajmain. Question number 8, memorize the second supplication from the second surah, 250th ayat, mentioned by the author in chapter 1 of this book. The second supplication that he mentions was what? Naam. Naam. So there are three parts to this supplication. The first part, رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا, meaning what? Anybody?
Pour upon us patience.
Give us an abundance of patience. And then the second part, وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا, means, Naam. ثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا, make firm our feet, make our feet firm. Yani we don't run off the battlefield. Naam. And the third part, وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ, and that means, grant us victory over the disbelieving people. Question number 9, discuss briefly the circumstances of the believers at the time when they offered this supplication. What were the circumstances under which this yani came to us? Naam. It was a war, it was a battle, Naam.
Against 4,000 people, 400,000 people, while they had 30 something.
Yani, it's reported that the numbers were like that. They were in a battle against some mushrikeen. And the numbers of the disbelievers were far above their numbers. It is reported in some places that their numbers were 30 something thousand, and the enemies were 400,000. And in that condition, in those circumstances, they supplicated to Allah. To what? To give us patience to deal with this difficult situation. And to make our feet firm so that we are steadfast in the face of the enemy on the battlefield. And then, yani, to decree for us, to write for us victory over the disbelieving people. The last question, how has the author explained the meaning of make our feet firm in this supplication? How has he explained the meaning of make our feet firm? Now, to Wali.
That the feet will be firm when the heart is firm.
Yani, the meaning of make our feet firm, make our hearts firm. Because feet are firm when the hearts are strong. When the hearts are strong. Naam. And this also, yani, points to the any ongoing theme of the importance of the heart. The importance of the heart, giving attention to the heart. And the most important of affairs are the affairs of the hearts. The best and the greatest of deeds are the deeds of the heart. And the core of the affair is with the heart. As the Prophet ﷺ said, and there's a small piece of flesh in the body, if it is sound, if it is healthy, it's whole, the whole body is whole, and the opposite is also true. Okay, tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to look at chapter 2, the second chapter, which the Shaykh has entitled, and it's on page 863 of the original book. Shaykh has entitled, Dua al-Mu'minina fi khatimati surat al-Baqarati. Yani, the supplications of the believers in the final ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah. Final ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah. Yani, the second surah, 285 and 286 ayat. The final two ayats of Surah Al-Baqarah. And let me say here that the Shaykh, he has divided the explanation concerning these series of requests from the believers, from the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has divided this explanation, and there are series, as we mentioned, a series of requests that are made or supplications that are made all together. And the Shaykh has mentioned, he has divided into two sections. Yani, the first part of it is in chapter 2, and the second part of it is in chapter 3. So we're going to be discussing these series of supplications tonight, and bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, next week as well. This first part, I have divided into about 10 points that the Shaykh made. 10 points. The first point is his introduction to these supplications, and the 10th point is his conclusion concerning these supplications. And in between, there are any, what I have identified as 8 points just for my own self, and to help us to be able to follow, any point by point, the various things that he has mentioned in this series of supplications. So the first 5 points that he mentioned are all related directly to Iman. Yani, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the believers, that they believed in him, that they believed in everything that he has revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the second is some details of what they believed in. Yani, they believed in Allah and the angels and the books and the messengers. And the third point is the specific Iman of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is distinguished from all other people by the fact that they didn't make any distinction between any of the messages, as opposed to the other nations before. And the fourth point he mentions is related to, yani, two essential elements of that Iman being valid it has to have certain elements. And he mentions those things. And then finally he mentions a fifth point, that is the dua. That is the first dua that came in this series. The first dua that came with the mention of Rabbana. And it came four times in this series of ayats. And there are probably eight different requests that are made, yani, throughout this series of supplications. I'll suffice with that just to have kind of like an overview of what we're going to be discussing tonight and in the following session. So the Shaykh, he begins by saying, إِنَّ مِنْ دَعْوَاتِ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَأَهْلِ الْإِيمَانِ الْعَظِيمَةِ مَا ذَكَرَهُ تَعَالَى فِي خَوَاتِيمِ سُرَةُ الْبَقَرَةِ فِي خَوَاتِيمِ سُرَةُ الْبَقَرَةِ. So from the supplications of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم and the people of Iman from his ummah, yani from the magnificent supplications of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the people of Iman is that which has been mentioned by Allah the Most High in the final closing ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah. And then he mentions those two ayats, 285 and 286. The saying of Allah the Most High, آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون. Yani that the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has believed in that which has been revealed, has been sent down to him by his Rabb. And also the believers, yani, have believed just as he has believed. Yani the iman of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the iman of the believers in all that has been revealed to him. Kullun amana billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusuli. This is the details concerning that iman, that all of them, the Messenger and his followers, the believers, until today, all of them, they believe in Allah and in His angels and in His books, His revelations, and in His messengers. Then he says, that which distinguishes the iman of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the previous nations, لا نفرق بين أحد من رسولي من رسولي. يعني Allah mentions that these people, the people of Iman, they do not make any distinction between any one of His messengers. Unlike some of the other people of the previous nations, or all of the other people of the previous nations. وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا غُفْرَانَكَ رَبَّنَا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. And they said, this was their supplication, we hear and we obey and we seek your forgiveness, O our Rabb, and to you is the return, the eventual, final return. Then Allah mentions about Himself, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها, that Allah doesn't place a burden, give a responsibility, a task to the people that's beyond their ability, what they don't have the ability to do. Allah doesn't do this. لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت. But every soul will have the good, the reward for what they have done of good. And against it, they will be held responsible for, yani, whatever they have done of evil. Yani, people will be accountable for what they have done. Allah tasks us with responsibilities that are within our ability. And then every person who does good will have that which they have done of good. And every person who does evil, they will be responsible for that. Yani, this is the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the supplication, the second supplication in this series, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَعْنَا. O our Rabb, do not, yani, punish us. Do not call us to account for that which we did due to forgetfulness or what we did out of mistake, yani, mistakenly, the mistakes that we made. And this is where the discussion of the ayat stopped for today. But the rest of the ayat, yani, the next supplication came, رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِصْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا. O our Rabb, yani, do not place upon us a burden, a heavy responsibility, like that which you placed on those who were before us, the previous nations. رَبَّنَا وَلَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِي. Again, O our Rabb, and do not place on us a responsibility or a burden, a difficulty, that is beyond our ability to bear it. Yani, that which we don't have the ability to bear. And these two supplications, the Shaykh is going to mention, in the next session we'll cover it, that do not place on us the responsibility that A difficult responsibility like the people before us means in reference to the things that Allah has legislated, commands and prohibitions. And the next supplication, do not place upon us that which we don't have the ability to bear, is in reference to what Allah decreed, yani calamities and afflictions. Don't yani decree to afflict us that which we can't bear. And then, yani, without the repetition of Rabbana, yani, the remaining request came, four of them, wa'afu anna, pardon us, waghfir lana, and forgive us, warhamna, and have mercy upon us, anta maulana, you are our maula, our protector, our supporter, our provider, fansurna ala alqawm alkafirin, so give us victory over the disbelieving people. These series of supplications came all together, and he attributed to the people of Iman from the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Shaykh, he begins his explanation of these ayats by saying, وَهَذَا دُعَاءٌ عَظِيمٌ, yani this is a magnificent, tremendous dua, series of dua. أَخْبَرَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى بِهِ عَنْ رَسُولِهِ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَعَنْ عِبَادِهِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أُمَّتِهِ. And Allah has made this known to us, this supplication, He has made known to us, this supplication, as being from His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and His believing worshippers from the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani, the Shaykh is saying that Allah is attributing this to the Messenger and to His, yani sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to His Ummah. Then he says, وَأَثْنَى تَعَالَى عَلَيْهِمْ بِهَذَا الدُّعَى. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, due to this supplication, it is as though He is praising them because of this tremendous supplication that He is attributing here to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his yani ummah. Yani the supplication, الَّذِي سَأَلُوا فِيهِ مَصَالِحَ الدِّينِ وَالْآخِرَةِ. Yani a supplication in which the believers are asking in this series of supplications that which will benefit them in their deen and that which will benefit them in the next life. This is his yani introduction to these ayat or these supplications. And from what is tremendously important is that, number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like the other supplications that the Shaykh has collected here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has selected from the millions and billions of people on the earth from the beginning of time who supplicated to him. From those supplications, he has supplicated a few supplications from those millions and billions of people to put in the Quran, to be read and to be recited and to be learned and understood and to, yani for the people until Yawmul Qiyamah, to call on him by. These supplications that he selected from the humanity from the beginning of time. So this is the first thing that's important, and it is as a means of praising them. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends to praise them by the mention of their supplication from all the people who supplicated to him throughout history. This is the means of praise for them. And finally, yani, in this supplication, the Shaykh is saying that they have asked for that which will benefit them in their deen. And that's the most important thing, and in the end of it all, in the akhirah. And that should be sufficient for us, yani, to learn these supplications. Even little by little, it doesn't matter, we need to learn them. So the first part of what's mentioned in these two ayat, the first part that's mentioned is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, آمَنَ الرَّسُولُ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ رَبِّهِ. Yani that the messenger, meaning the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has believed in that which has been sent down, that which has been revealed to him from his Rabb. The Shaykh says, إخباراً عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو شهادة من الله تعالى له عليه الصلاة والسلام بإيمانه بما أنزل إليه من ربه. يعني that this is a يعني a point of information. إخبار, Allah is informing us concerning His Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, that he, the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, believes in all that has been revealed to him from his Rabb. This, the Shaykh says, huwa shahadatun min Allah ta'ala lahu alayhi salatu wa salam bi imanihi bima unzila ilayhi min rabbihi. That this is a testimony, shahada, from Allah himself, the Most High. This is a testimony from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani testifying to the iman of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in all that has been revealed to him from his Rabb. He believes in all of it. And it's necessary for us to believe in all of it. وَذَلِكَ يَتَضَمَّنُ إِعْطَاهُ ثَوَابْ أَكْمَلْ أَحْلُ الْإِيمَانِ زِيَادَةً عَلَى ثَوَابْ الرِّسَالَةِ وَالنُّبُوَّةِ. And this, yani, implies, yani, this shahada from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the testifying to the iman of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam implies that he would be given the reward of the most perfect of the people of iman. He would be given the reward of the most perfect of the people of all the believers, of the people of iman, in addition to the reward of ar-risala and nubuwa, in addition to the reward of him that he gets as being a messenger and as being a prophet. لأنه صلى الله عليه وسلم شارك المؤمنين في الإيمان ونال منه أعلى مراتبه وامتاز عنهم بالرسالة والنبوة. And that is because, and why is the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم getting all this reward? It is because he has shared in the station of Iman with the believers. And the believers have Iman, and the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has shared that same position, that same status of Iman, the greatest, the most perfect aspect of it, the highest level of it. So he will have that reward of the Iman, of the most perfect of the people of Iman. And then he has also attained, he has attained the highest level of it, having the most perfect of Iman, and he has also excelled and surpassed the rest of the people of Iman due to his being a messenger and a prophet, and the reward that he gets for that. Then the Shaykh, he says, the saying of Allah the Most High, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ, yani, and the believers, this is coupled with Ar-Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which means that this is a testimony, shahada from Allah for the believers, that they have believed in that which their Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam believed in. Yani, that just as the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam believed in everything that was revealed to him, so Allah is saying, wal mu'minun. And likewise, they are just like their Messenger. They believe in everything that has been revealed to him from his Rabb. So this is azim, this is tremendous, that a people, that Allah joins them in iman, to the iman of their Messenger. Yani, that he attached them, yani, like they are just like their Messenger. Yani, they believe just like he believes. Not equal, of course, but the fact that, yani, that they are coupled with him is tremendous. Now, the next point, the Shaykh says, the saying of Allah the Most High, كُلٌ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُوبِهِ وَرُسُولِهِ, that all of them, yani, meaning the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the believers, the mu'mineen from his ummah, they all believe in Allah and his angels and his books and his messengers. شَهَادَةٌ لَهُمْ جَمِيعًا بِالْإِيمَانِ بِالْقُوَاعِدِ الْخَمْسَةِ الَّتِي لَا يَكُونُ أَحَدٌ مُؤْمِنًا إِلَّا بِهَا, وهي الإيمان بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر. يعني, here Allah is saying here, the meaning of which is all of them believe in Allah and his angels and his books and his messengers. He said that this is a testimony as well from Allah for all of them, for the messenger and for his, yani, followers. This is a testimony from Allah of their iman in the qawaid al-khamsa, yani, that in the five, yani, foundations, which no one can be a believer without them. And here, just a quick note that, yani, the Shaykh has defined, or he has explained, that what he means by al-khawar al-khamsa, he means that is iman in Allah and the angels and the books and the messengers and yawmul akhir. Yawmul akhir is not mentioned in this ayah. And likewise, al-qadha wal-qadha is not mentioned in this ayah from the arkan al-iman al-sitta. But certainly, it is clear that they can be understood and are definitely known from the things that are mentioned in the ayah, believing in Allah and the angels and the books and the messengers, especially believing in the books because this came in the revelations, and believing in the messengers because it came on the tongue of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. All of these are things that a person can know. Yani, if they believe in the first of them, then they will believe in the rest of them. Here I want to just quickly, yani, go to the tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di concerning this part of the, yani, the ayat that I mentioned. The Shaykh says, this ayat, آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كلهم آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه, to the end of what he said there, the Shaykh says, Allah is informing us about the iman of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the believers who are with him. Allah is informing us about their iman. وَانْقِيَادِهِمْ وَطَاعَتِهِمْ وَسُعَالِهِمْ مَعَ ذَلِكَ الْمَغْفِرَةِ. And he's also informing us about their yani compliance. Not only they believe, but they complied. They fulfill that which is necessitated by true iman. Yani iman is not just something that a person expresses on their tongue, but it requires action. Allah is informing us that they didn't just claim iman, but they complied with what is required by it, including obedience, their obedience to him, and they're asking for al-maghfirah, for forgiveness, along with that. In other words, even though they believed in him, and they complied what was required by their iman, they still asked for forgiveness. They still felt and knew the need for forgiveness. And a person might imagine that I believe in Allah, and my iman is strong, and I'm complying with what Allah has commanded and forbidden. And that's sufficient. But Allah is saying, He is the one who's testifying to their iman and their compliance, and He's saying, and yet they still understood the need to ask for forgiveness for shortcomings in what is required by that iman. The Shaykh goes on to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us, أَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُولِهِ, that they have believed in Allah and His angels and His books and His messengers, and this includes iman in jami' ma akhbar Allah bihi an nafsihi wa akhbarat bihi anhu rusuluhu min sifat kamalihi wa nu'ud jalalihi ala wajh al ijmal wa tafsil wa tanzihihi an tamthil wa ta'til wa an jami' sifat an naqs. Yani the Shaykh is saying here that this believing in Allah and the angels and the books and the messengers, this entails having iman in everything that Allah has informed us of about Himself. Everything that Allah has informed us of about Himself. And everything that His messengers, alayhimu salam, has informed us about Him. Including His sifat of kamal, His yani descriptions of perfection. And His characteristics of jalal, of majesty. In both, yani in a general sense and in a detailed sense. Yani whatever they have informed us, generally about the perfection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, characteristics and qualities, generally and specifically the details of everything that we have been informed of, yani in the Quran and from the messengers, yani alayhim salam. And as well, this also requires, this iman that Allah is talking about here, the Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di says, it also requires, yani, that this iman necessitates declaring Allah to be free from a tamthil wa ta'atil, and from every yani description, yani sifat and naqs. Yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we don't make examples of things in the creation to make examples for Allah. Nor do we deny or negate anything that has been affirmed in the Quran or in the authentic sunnah for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani because the human mind or a person's intellect can't comprehend that about Allah. Rather, what Allah has informed us about Himself, we believe in it. Without exception. And what the Prophet ﷺ has informed us about him, we believe in it. Even if our intellect is not capable to comprehend how that can be so. Of course, yani, the people of Sunnah say, but we believe in it without making, yani, without there being any likeness between Allah and anything in the creation. So he said, this also includes this as well as, yani, negating any characteristic of defect. He said, this also includes iman in the angels who have been described in the legislations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala generally and in detail. Yani what has been said about the angels in general and the details about any one of them or them in general. Yani specifically and generally. And this also, this iman that is mentioned in this ayat also includes iman in all of the messengers and in all of the revelations. And in everything that we have been informed of by the messengers. And everything that we have been informed of in the revelations. Information, commands, and prohibitions. So, and from this discussion, from Imam Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di in his tafsir of the Quran, it gives us an idea of the magnitude and the vastness of this iman that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is confirming for His Messenger and confirming for the believers, the people of Iman from the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we being included amongst them. This is what is required of us. This is what is required of us. And our Iman is general and it's specific. And every detail of it that came in the Quran and in the authentic Sunnah, we are required to adhere to accept, to acknowledge, and to affirm. So the Shaykh, he goes on to say, after mentioning this, believing in Allah and the angels and the books and the messengers, he says, and his saying, لَا نُفَرِّكُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِنْ رُسُولِ this is the second aspect of Iman after the affirmation of Iman and some of the details of what that Iman requires in Allah and the angels and the books and the messengers and so on, that from the distinguishing features of the Iman of the people of this Ummah is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they said, لَا نُفَرِّكُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِنْ رُسُولِ We do not make a distinction between any one of His messengers. حكاية عن أهل الإيمان أنهم يقولون هذا this is something, an account, or a statement that Allah is bringing to us from the people of Iman, that they are saying this. Meaning that they are saying what? They are saying, we do not make any distinction between any one of the messengers of Allah the Most High. We don't make any distinction by what? By believing in some and claiming belief in some and disbelieving in others. And this is the distinction, that some people claim they believe in some and disbelieve in others. And it's not that long ago. We know right in front of us right now that, for example, the Christians said they believed in Jesus alayhi salam and they rejected Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And before them, the Jews said they believed in Musa alayhi salam and they rejected Isa alayhi salam. So these are the nations before us claimed that they believed in some of the messengers. Claimed. I say claim because their claim is a false claim. Because as the Shaykh goes on to say, that disbelieving in one prophet is disbelieving in them all. Disbelieving in them all. So the Shaykh says that the people of Iman from the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are saying this. We make no distinction between any of the messengers of Allah by, for example, saying we believe in some and disbelieve in others. Rather, they believe in all of the messengers alayhi salam. Even though, even if some of the messengers, their sharia that they came with abrogated the sharia of others before them by the permission of Allah. To the extent that the sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam abrogated all of the sharia, the legislations and revelations that came before him, as him being the khatim al-anbiya wal-mursaleen, the seal of the prophets and the messengers, after which no other prophet or messenger will come. He says, الَّذِي تَقُومُ وَسَعَى عَلَى شَرِيَاتِهِ that his sharia will be enforced until the establishment of the hour of judgment. His sharia will be enforced. وَلَا تَزَالُ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِهِ عَلَى الْحَقِّ ظَاهِرِينَ إِلَى قِيَامِهَا And the Shaykh goes on to quote the meaning that came from the authentic hadith with different wordings, that a group from amongst his ummah, a group of people from his ummah would remain, would continue to be upon the truth. Without having deviated from the truth. Vahirina. Being given support and victory. Either materially in this world or in the message that they delivered. Allah would give them victory until the establishment of the hour of judgment. Then the Shaykh closes this point by saying, فَبَايَنُوا بِهَذَا الْإِيمَانِ جَمِيعَ تَوَائِفْ الْكُفَّارِ So they have become clearly distinct by this Iman, the Iman that is mentioned above, including not making any distinction between any of the messengers. They have become distinct from all of the various sects of other than the Muslims, of disbelievers. Those who, al-mukadhibina li jins ar-rusul, those who deny messengers in general without any exception, disbelieve in all the messengers. As well as those who مُصَدِّقِينَ لِبَعْدِهِمْ وَمُكَذِّبِينَ لِبَعْدِ who claim to affirm belief in some and disbelief in others. The Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is made clearly distinct from all of these people. And then the Shaykh says, وَالْكُفْرُ بِنَبِيٍ وَاحِدٍ كُفْرٌ بِجَمِيعِ النَّبِيِّينَ disbelieving in one prophet is disbelief in all of them. The next point the Shaykh says, وَقَوْلُهُ وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا After what has preceded, the affirmation of Iman, and the details of that iman, believing in Allah and the angels and the books and so on, and the distinction in that iman from the other people who claimed iman previously, not making any distinction between any of the prophets and messengers, then the Shaykh says this saying, وَقَالُوا, these believers, they said, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا, and this is also an aspect of their iman. Yani he continued this. We continue to have the discussion concerning iman, that this iman also has requirements. وَقَالُوا, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا, they said, we hear and we obey. Meaning, we hear your saying, يَا رَبَّنَا, O our Rabb. And we have understood it. And we have made it our business to establish it and to comply, to do those deeds which are required by that iman. Meaning that the people who claim iman, then they also have to hear and obey. Yani they have to comply with what that iman requires of them. Yani they have to hear it, understand it, and yani make a resolve to comply with it, to do whatever is required by that iman. The Shaykh says, وَهَذَا إِقْرَارٌ مِنْهُمْ بِرُكْنَيْ الْإِيمَانِ الَّذَيْنِ لَا يَقُومُ إِلَّا بِهِمَا. Yani this is an affirmation from them in saying we hear and obey of two essential aspects of iman, which iman will not be established without them. Yani without hearing and obeying. Yani the claim of iman that a person claims is in their heart, and nobody knows what's in their heart except Allah, that claim of iman has essential elements. And from those essential elements is that the true believer hears the speech of Allah, the command of Allah, the prohibition of Allah, and obeys it. Hears and obeys. سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. So this is affirmation of these two essential aspects, which iman cannot be established without it. وَهُمَا السَّمْعُ وَالطَّاعَةُ. يعني السَّمْعُ وَالطَّاعَةُ. يعني these two essential elements is hearing and obeying. Hearing, he said, it means المتضمن للقبول والتسليم. Hearing means that a person has full acceptance and fully surrenders. They accept it and surrenders to it. والطاعة المتضمنة لكمال الانقياد والامتثال الأمر وامتثال الأمر. يعني طاعة, the second element, it entails the perfection of compliance and acting upon the commands, yani being obedient, hearing and obeying, yani acceptance, surrender, compliance, obedience. That this is, these are two essential elements of that iman that has been yani mentioned throughout these yani lines of the ayat. ثم قال, then they said, غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. Here came the supplication of these believers. And at the end of all of this, after not making any distinction between any of the messengers, and believing in the angels and the books and all that Allah revealed, and hearing and obeying, complying with what that iman requires, then they realized that they need to ask Allah's forgiveness for their shortcomings in all of that. With all of that, they still needed to ask for forgiveness. They said, غفرانكَ, وقالوا غفرانكَ ربنا, and to you is the return. And this is because they knew that they would never, لن يوفوا مقام الإيمان حقه مع القبول والطاعة الذي يقتدي منهم. يعني they knew that they would never be able to fully fulfill the مقام الإيمان, يعني this station of إيمان, حقه, giving it its full rights, with قبول and طاعة, يعني acceptance, surrender, and obedience. They knew that they would never be able to do this, which iman, yani the maqam iman, the station of iman required of them. وَأَنَّهُمْ لَابُدَّ أَن تَمِيلَ بِهَا بِهِمْ غَلَبَاتُ الطِّبَاعِ وَالدَّوَايَ الْبَشَرِيَّةِ الَّتِي بَعْدَ إِلَى بَعْدَ التَّقْصِيرِ فِي وَاجِبَاتِ الْإِيمَانِ. And they also knew that those things that are natural, yani غلبات الطباع, yani the things that are in the nature of the human being that will overcome the human being who intends to do good, but they will be overcome by that which is in their nature. ودواء البشرية, and the human impulses or instincts, they knew that these things would cause them to end up with a تقصير, some shortcoming في واجبات الإيمان, in those things that are obligatory from إيمان. And in other words, إيمان is not just a profession on the tongue, a claim that's in the heart, but there are also aspects that are obligatory for iman, and they knew that they would have some taqsir, some shortcoming in that, and for this reason, they knew that there was nothing that could fix this except the maghfirah of Allah Ta'ala. So they asked for His forgiveness. Yani that all of the defects or shortcomings that they may have fallen into due to yani human weakness or natural human impulses and instincts, they knew that none of this could be restored and yani rectified and corrected except the forgiveness of Allah the Most High. فَسَأَلُهُ غُفْرَانَهُ وَالَّذِي هُوَ غَايَةُ سَعَادَتِهِمْ وَنِهَايَةِ كَمَالِهِمْ. So they asked Him for that forgiveness, which was the highest, would be the highest degree of their sa'ada, their happiness and their success. And it would be the peak or the pinnacle of their perfection. Yani that all of that iman and that compliance and everything that they did, yani perfection could only be reached if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave them their shortcomings. So they understood this. So therefore they said, Gufranaka Rabbana, O our Rabb, forgive us. And then the Shaykh ends this point by saying, ثُمَّ اِعْتَرَفُوا أَنَّ مَصِيرَهُمْ وَمَرَدَّهُمْ إِلَى مَوْلَاهُمْ الْحَقِّ الَّذِي لَا بُدَّ لَهُمْ مِنَ الرُّجُوعِ إِلَيْهِ فَقَالُوا وَإِلَيْكَ الْمَصِيرُ. So they also acknowledged that their destination and their place of return was to their true Mawla, their true yani protector and guardian and supporter and provider, who yani it was inevitable that they must return to Him, and therefore they said, wa ilayka al-masir, and to you is the return. The Shaykh summarizes the points that have been mentioned up until here. He says, فَتَضَمَّنَتْ هَذِهِ الْكَلِمَاتِ yani, so these words that have been mentioned up until here, yani Allah's affirmation of their iman and of their not making a distinction between yani any of the messengers and their compliance and their obedience and their all of this, yani the Shaykh said in these words that preceded, yani the summary of it is that these words encompass إِمَانَهُمْ بِهِ, yani that they believed in Him, وَدُخُولَهُمْ تَحْتَ طَاعَتِهِ وَعُبُودِيَتِهِ, and that they were subject to obedience to Him and worshipping Him, وَاَتِرَافَهُمْ بِرُبُوبِيَتِهِ, and their confession and acknowledgement of His rububiyyah, وَاَتِرَارَهُمْ إِلَى مَغْفِرَتِهِ, and their being in dire need of His forgiveness, وَاَتِرَافَهُمْ بِالتَّقْصِيرِ فِي حَقِّهِ, and their also acknowledgement of their falling short in fulfilling His rights, وَإِقْرَارَهُمْ بِرُجُوعِهِمْ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْحِسَابِ, and also yani their acknowledgement yani that they are going to return to Him for the day of accounting, for the day of accounting. Then yani the ayats go on to talk about yani Allah, yani the duties that He has placed on the people, in that He doesn't place any responsibility on the people beyond what they have the ability to fulfill. And as a result of that, therefore, whatever a person does of good will be for them, and whatever they did otherwise would be held against them. That it is all, yani, for the person, yani, it is for yourself. Whatever of good you do is for yourself. Allah has no need of it and doesn't benefit from it. And whatever you do of evil is against your own self. It doesn't harm Allah in any way whatsoever. But Allah is just, and that He doesn't give us a responsibility. He doesn't make us accountable for anything except that which we have the ability to bear. And then, yani, the final, what the Shaykh mentions from this series of supplications is the supplication where the people ask, yani, where the believers ask that Allah not hold us accountable for that which we did due to forgetfulness or due to a mistake. So the Shaykh says, وَقَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسَعَهَا, that Allah doesn't burden the people. He doesn't make the people accountable or responsible for anything except that which they have the ability to do. A la yukallifu Allah ahadan fawqa taqatihi bal jami'u ma kallafa 'ibadahu bihi amran wa nahyan fahum mutiquna lahu qadiruna 'alayhi. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He doesn't make the people responsible for anything that's above, beyond their ability. Rather, everything that He has made us responsible for, whether it is from that which He commanded us with, or that which He prohibited us from, we are able to do it. And we are capable of doing it. وَهَذَا مِنْ لُطْفِهِ تَعَالَى بِخَلْقِهِ وَرَأْفَتِهِ بِهِمْ وَإِحْسَانِهِ إِلَيْهِمْ. And this, yani the fact that Allah has not placed upon us, yani a responsibility, a task, a duty that's beyond our ability, this is from His kindness, His lutf, and His compassion, and His goodness towards the people. This is Allah's favor and His kindness and His compassion towards the people. Then the Shaykh says, and in reference to that which Allah has made the people responsible for, and what He has held us responsible for, He gave us commandments and prohibitions. He has made some things obligatory, and some things commendable and praiseworthy, and some things prohibited, and some things detestable, yani disliked by Allah, even if they are not prohibited. Yani these are yani rulings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed upon the things that He made us responsible for, to either do or to avoid, to abandon, to stay away from. He says, قَوْلُهُ تَعَالَى لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَعَلَيْهَا مَا اكْتَسَبَتْ, yani that every soul, every person will have the reward for what they have done of good, and against it, yani will be the wrong that they have done. أي للنفس ما كسبت من خير. Every person will have the khair that they have done. وَعَلَيْهَا مَا اكْتَسَبَتْ مِنْ شَرٍ. And every person will have against them the evil that they would, what they have done. وَذَلَكَ فِي الْعَمَالَ الَّتِي تَحْتَ التَّخْلِيفِ. And this is in reference to actions or deeds that are subject, يعني تحت التخليف, تكليف, يعني meaning those things that Allah has made us responsible for. يعني that it is obligatory, or it's commendable, or it's prohibited, or it's يعني detestable, makruh, and so on. This is in reference to those things that there are rulings concerning them, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made us to know that this is something that He loves, or something that He hates, something that He has prohibited, or something that He has commanded. It's in reference to these things alone. Shaykh says, so, وَفِي هَذَا بَيَانَ أَنَّ ثَمَرَةِ التَّكْلِيفِ وَغَايَتُهُ عَائِدَةٌ عَلَى الْعِبَادِ وَأَنَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى يَتَعَالَى عَنْ عِنْتِفَائِهِ بِكَسْبِهِمْ وَتَضَرُّرِهِ بِإِكْتِسَابِهِمْ كَمَا فِي الْحَدِيثِ الْقُدْسِي. Yani, that in this ayat, that a person will have that of good which they have done, what they have earned, and against them will be the evil of what they have earned, he said, in this is a clarification that the fruits of these responsibilities and the end result of these things that Allah has made us responsible for, the fruits of it is going back to the person, to the ibad, to each person themselves. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is high above, is far removed and distant from benefiting from that which they have done of good. And He is high and far removed, distance from being harmed by any evil that they have done. And this is as it came in the Hadith Qudsi, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا عِبَادِي إِنَّكُمْ لَن تَبْلُغُوا نَفَعِي فَتَنْفَعُونِي وَلَن تَبْلُغُوا دُرِّي فَتَدُرُّونِي. Yani that, oh my worshippers, indeed you will never reach yani a position of harming me so that you could harm me. And you will never reach a position, you will never attain a position of benefiting me. You will never be in a position to benefit me so that you would benefit me. This hadith is reported by Al-Imam Muslim in his Sahih. And this right here, then he is making clear to us that whatever we do is for ourselves, and it doesn't benefit or harm, or against ourselves, and it doesn't benefit or harm Allah in any way whatsoever. Yani rather, whatever the people have done of good and the benefit from it is for themselves. And against them is whatever they have earned of evil, and the harm of it is against themselves. And this is also confirmed in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Isra, 17th Surah, 15th Ayat, من اهتدى فإنما يهتدي لنفسه ومن ضل فإنما يضل عليها. That whoever goes aright, whoever is rightly guided, then it is only for his own self that he is rightly guided. And whoever goes astray, then it is yani to his own loss alone, to his loss. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't command the people with that which He commanded them with due to any haja minhu ilayhim, yani due to any need that Allah has. Rather, it was His rahmah, His mercy, and His ihsan, His goodness, and His taqarrum, His generosity. It is for that reason that He has commanded them, not that there's any need yani with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what He has commanded them with. And He hasn't prohibited the people from anything that He prohibited them from, except يعني حَمْيَةً لَهُمْ, except that it be a means of protection for them. وَحَفْظًا وَصِيَانَةً وَعَافِيَةً, except that it will be a means of preservation for them and safeguarding them and for their own well-being. The last application that the Shaykh is discussing tonight, and the rest of them coming in the following session, the saying of Allah the Most High, that's attributed to the Ahl al-Iman, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَخِذْنَا إِن نَسِينَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا. O our Rabb, do not call us to account. Do not make us responsible for that which, if we forgot, for something that we did because we forgot, or that we did mistakenly. The Shaykh says, this is irshadun. This is a means of guidance from Allah the Most High to the believers to supplicate with this dua. Allah is telling the believers to supplicate with this dua. O our Rabb, do not call us to account if we forget or we make a mistake. And that is because of the fact that whatever Allah has made us responsible for, whatever Allah has made the people responsible for, that these are covenants and contracts and advices that must be given attention to. They must be preserved and guarded. And they must not, there must not be any defects in them or shortcoming in them. However, the fact is that those things in the human nature which overcome them insist that there be nisyan and khata and da'af and taqsir, that the human being is going to forget sometimes, and the human being is going to make a mistake, and do something unintentionally, not meaning to do that particular thing, and there's going to be weakness and there's going to be shortcomings. فَكَانَ فِي هَذَا الدُّعَى سُؤَالُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَبَّهُمْ مَسَامَحَتَهُ إِيَّاهُمْ فِي ذَلِكَ كُلِّهِ وَرَفَى مُوجِبِهِ عَنْهُمْ. In this dua, O our Lord, do not call us to account, for that which we did due to forgetfulness and mistake. In this is the request from the believers that their Rabb pardon them, overlook them for all of those things, their mistakes and the errors and their shortcomings and their weakness. And that he also, raise up or remove the consequences, that result from that mistake, from that error, from that forgetfulness. This is a request that Allah not call us to account for those things. And this also goes in line with what came previously. And this is the end of what the Shaykh said. He just mentions one hadith and closes with that. And that is that the people of Iman who believe in Allah and the angels and the books and the messengers and all that Allah has revealed through His messengers in His revelations, the people who believe in that and believe in it fully and completely, the details and in general, and they have that distinctive iman in which they accept all the prophets and messengers, even though, a prophet's message may have been abrogated by another prophet. And they comply with it. They hear and obey. And they ask Allah's forgiveness, they ask Allah's forgiveness for their shortcomings, and they also ask Allah not to call them to account for that which is inevitable, that the human being inevitably is going to, sometimes make a mistake or commit a sin. The Shaykh, he closes by saying, in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, inna Allah wada'a an ummati al-khata' wal-nisyana wa mastukrihu alayhi. Ruahu ibn Majah. That Ibn Abbas says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that indeed Allah has overlooked, has pardoned from my ummah that which they did due to mistake, or that which they did due to forgetfulness, or that which they did being compelled, being compelled to do it against their will. The Shaykh closes by saying, وَهَذَا مِنْ عَظِيمْ مَنِّ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ وَوَاسِعْ فَضْلِهِ. That this is from the magnificence, the greatness of Allah's favor and the vastness of His bounties. أَنْ تَجَاوَزَ عَنْ عِبَادِهِ مَا وَقَعَ مِنْهُمْ مِنْ قَبِيلِ الْخَطَى وَالنِّسْيَانِ أَوْ عَلَى سَبِيلِ الْإِقْرَاءِ. That this is an indication. It is from the magnificence of Allah's favor and His bounty, the vastness of His bounty, that He pardons, that He overlooks from His worshippers that which they have fell into due to mistake or due to forgetfulness, or that which they did out of compulsion against their will. فَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ عَلَى فَضْلِهِ وَإِحْسَانِهِ وَلَهُ الشُّكْرُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى عَلَى مَنِّهِ وَإِكْرَامِهِ. So therefore, for Him is the praise, for his bounties and his goodness, and for him is the shukr, yani that we be grateful and appreciative and thankful to him for his blessings, his favors, and his generosity, yani falahu alhamd wa lahu shukr. Falahu alhamd wa lahu shukr. Yani Allah is deserving of all praise, and that we be grateful for his favors. This favor, yani that he overlooks our mistakes and errors, and that which we did through forgetfulness, or that which we did under compulsion. And for this and for all else that Allah does for us, he is deserving of praise and he is deserving of our gratitude. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's any corrections before we dismiss, any from anything that was said, please bring it to our attention now. Otherwise, if there's any comments or any questions, we'll take them, inshallah, after we dismiss.